The tennis gets underway today, so we thought, why not go straight to the top shelf? Champion coach and commentator Roger Rashid joins us. Good morning, Rog.
Morning, Hazy. How are you? Have you got Hartlett there?
Yeah. do indeed.
Is this what happens when you just go in and start? Get on, you grab a microphone home. Is that what happened?
They're scraping the barrel here, Rog. They're really scraping the
barrel.
I can't wait
to hear your first question. I'm loaded. I'm ready.
we'll get to our Hammer's big question in a second. First of all, though, Rog, let's talk about Thanasi. How good was that? Made an ATP win on home soil. There was emotion. There was everything that came with it. It was just, I mean, it's only early, but 2022 served up a nice little story already.
Yeah, it did. There's no doubt about that. I think the number one thing is there is when you're an athlete and you know, I've lived it. I retired at 21 and I lived with chronic with back problems as from the 15-year-olds onwards. So the roller coaster is quite enormous. And Hamish would know exactly what this feels like, where you actually, you know, you've got a vision in your mind of what you're going to do in your sporting career. And once it doesn't, once you have an area or a patch where it doesn't happen and you're injured, it's always, you know, the doubts starts coming into your mind. Am I going to be ever get there? Will it happen again? If it's happened in the middle of your career, so and then can you get a volume of work in that actually gives you this foundation where you can trust your body? And once you when you can do that, that's only the time I think you can really show your wares on a tennis court or a football field or wherever it is the sport that you play in. For Thanasi, he was able to get that sort of volume of work in, and he's obviously got someone around him that actually could, and maybe his body just matured a bit. He matured a bit also throughout the course of the years, and had 54 matches last year. And when you actually get to play a lot of matches in the lower echelon of the game, and you get some wins on the board, and then you can transfer that into a bigger event like he did in Adelaide. I think that was the main factor, and that was the most pleasing thing to see, that he could actually just hit the repeat button. And as I said, Hamish, I'm sure you know exactly what that feels like emotionally, you know, it's a bit of a grind at certain times.
Yeah, look, I think certainly that continuity, when you've got it, is probably something that you take for granted. But for an athlete like Thanasi that has suffered so many injuries over his short career so far, to be able to just to hit the court, you know, week in, week out would be huge for him from a mental, you know, point of view, mate. And it wasn't easy for him. He got through Cilic and he got through Isner on the road to Rinderneck in the final. What do you think, Roger? Could this be the making of him? He's 25 years of age, so he's been in the pro circuit for 7 or 8 years. Do you think this is the start of some big things to come for Thanasi?
Yeah, look, it can be very much so. I mean, look, if you say to an athlete, look, it might be a bit turbulent, but it's 20. You know, I can guarantee you from 25 to 30. You know, 32, you can have a 7-year career where you can just play week in, week out. You'd probably sign up for it. In any code, it's not, everyone takes a different path, and it's whether you can just stay passionate about the sport. I think that's the main thing, is if you can still love the sport and all the things that surround it, that sit under that umbrella, then you've got an opportunity. So he's got a game, Hamish and Hazy, that's, he's got a nice serve. It definitely was a weapon for him during the week, and in the semi, you know, up to the semifinals in the first week, and then he's got this big forehand. He's moving a little better, so yeah, he should be able to get himself into the top 50 players in the world. That should be his goal this year. He's got a real big springboard now. He's 103 in the world, so, and he'll get into the majors if he can just take care of a little bit more business in the first few months of the year. He will get into all the major championships, and that's really big. It gives you a chance to get a bigger volume of points. So I'd expect Thanasi, if he can be sound, that he sits around the 50 market by the end of the year. That should be an expectation that he would like to have.
Rog, we know him better than most South Australians, and we follow him all his progress, and maybe some of the eastern states don't quite know him as well as we do. What's his personality like? What's his character? Because you feel like if he gets a good run at the Australian Open, that the entire country would get right behind him, because he's a very, very likeable lad.
Yeah, he just hasn't been around a lot. I mean, when he first came up with Nick Kyrgios, you know, they were, you know, pictured a lot together. You know, they practiced a lot together. So there was, they called him a special case. I don't know if you remember that at some point. Now, Nick's another level above as far as what he brings to the table, but Thanasi's, he's quiet. He was always a quiet quiet kid going out to Memorial Drive and just having a little bit of fun on the tennis court. You know, so some people are very well, quite anal about the process and the way they go about it, and it's very regimented. So Thanasi's not quite in that basket. So, and you know, and maybe he needed to dial that in and get a bit of that, to be honest. So, you know, always like to surround himself with a friends group. So, you know, his coaches and they're Adelaide guys, they're friends of his. So he hasn't gone and probably dialed into a lot of the elite service that you, yeah. And so I would think that, I would say that was probably a downfall definitely, because you don't want a whole lot of people going into the world scene every day, waking up and they're all learning what it's like. You actually want someone above who can sit there and navigate everyone through in the development part of your career. So, he's a genuine young man. I think that's why he's well liked. And look, the Australian public at the Australian Open, they always feel his courts always full, and they will be today as well.
Well, he takes on Yannick Hampfman in the first round. Rog, what do you know about Yannick? What can we expect?
Yeah, he's a when you qualify, you've won three matches, so it means you've played some really bloody good tennis to get through. So that'll be a tricky match. So he'll go in there, the German, with a lot of confidence, and Thanasi goes in with a high level of confidence. You've got to be wary of having a letdown. I don't think he will, because it's the Australian Open and there's a lot of energy in the house, and his court will have. You know, it's as many people as we're allowed to in these times will be on the court, and they'll be cheering for him. So, and then he potentially looks at playing Rafa, who's in the will be his next matchup if Rafa gets through, which I'm expecting him to do. So the men's side of the draw is quite interesting, because it's all been opened up with Novak jumping on a flight, and so now it puts only one past champion in the men's side of the draw in Nadal, and Medvedev becomes the out and out favourite going into the men's side of the draw.
It's been absolutely the lead headline in terms of everything that's tennis related leading up over the last sort of few weeks. Novak Djokovic, it's been hard to keep up. It's actually happened, Roger. I didn't think that he would get turfed, but he's gone. What are your thoughts on the situation?
Yeah, look, it's unfortunate, first of all, because at the end of the day, at any major event and any sport, you want your star power there. So that's the unfortunate side of things. Should Novak have been, should he have led the way with vaccination on the tour? I believe so. You know, number one player in the world, we got 97% of the men top 100 who are actually vaccinated. So that sort of says a bit, and so he's decided not to. So therefore, there's consequences, and I just think you should live with the consequences that are attached to it. So if it means that you can't get into some of the countries to play at this time, if it happens that it's for 12 months, well then maybe you've got to just lick your wounds and get on with it. And look, there's quite a few people to fault. Obviously, I don't want to really get into who they are once I thought. You know, the can of worms was opened. I didn't think it'd be, you know, I didn't think we'd see him this year. It's been pretty bizarre, isn't it? I mean, we haven't seen anything like it in sport. I don't think we ever will. It was obviously ended up being quite political as well. All of this could have been, you know, it just could have been leather. And I feel for the playing group, because the playing group had to sit there, wait. It was front page all the time. Tennis wasn't talked about for the majority. Everyone else is in their lane and trying to get on with things. But on the men's side, you're trying to navigate will he play, will he not play, so there were a lot of these, you know, there were timed extensions along the way before the draw was done. So we eventually get there. That's the reality as well. We eventually get to starting line. And so it's going to be interesting to see what the ramifications are moving forward. But at the end of the day, we've got the world's best here. We've minus a couple, but that doesn't really matter, because the calibre is quite enormous.
And the matter of the preparation, it's always hard to tip against Djokovic coming into an Australian Open. But you mentioned before Medvedev. Is he your man now?
He is. Looks like he'll he'll go up against Nick Kyrgios in the second round. Nick's got a little tricky match. Liam Brody, who qualified from Great Britain, who's played pretty well. And Nick hasn't had a big start to the year where he, unfortunately, because he had to pull out of his two events and just had COVID. So we don't know if there's any lingering effects. He said he's asymptomatic. So I think Medvedev, yes. And then there's Tsitsipas, who's got a real opportunity. He's in that bottom half as well. And then at the top half, it's, you know, Nadal and Zverev, and they look like they might get involved in a quarterfinals clash if I'm just looking through the seedings and how they match up. And then there's Novak's quarter, and generally you can pin him in at the start of the tournament that quarterfinal spot. But now that's really open, so there's quite a few players that will be in that section of the draw that will think, oh, this might be an opportunity for me to have to get into a second week of the major.
Roger, it all kicks off tonight, mate, or this afternoon. What can we look forward to tonight? Who are the main events, the stars on court tonight that we should all be tuning in for?
Well, I think we've spoken a lot about the men's, but the women's is probably the spotlight's on the women for us because as much as we've got 40 Australian players in the Australian Open singles and doubles, 23 men and 17 women, both this is in singles and doubles combined. But Ash Barty sits on the top. She's leading the charge as the number one player in the world. She's been number one for 3 years, which people don't really talk about. It's quite extraordinary, really. Her third year going into a number one player in the world. Her form's been outstanding. Looks like she'll play Naomi Osaka in the fourth round, but they were my top two favourites for this tournament. But so Ash kicks off tonight, which is going to be outstanding. We've got some other women playing today. Isla Tomljanovic, unfortunately, she plays the eighth seed. When I say unfortunately, Badosa is in really good form, so we'll see where that sits. You've always got a chance when you get out there. There's no doubt about that, but you'd rather a little more comfortable right at the early stages of the tournament. I think we're going to see something really special on the women's side of the draw because there's a handful. There's six or seven players that are seriously walking into the tournament today, day one, and feeling like they could be the person that's holding up the championship trophy at the end of the 2 weeks, and that's really exciting for the tournament.
Mate, we always, as soon as someone wins a major, particularly if it's an Aussie like Ash, we just go, we pencil her in to win every major that she can test. Can you educate us on her form and her strengths in terms of the surfaces? How does she go on hard court?
Yeah, well, look, it's a great surface for her because Ash has got, she's the foot, to put it, mile in football terms, she's the football all rounder. So, but at the elite level. So, if you picked your best AFL footballer at the elite level, the very pointy end, who could do everything, be the midfielder, be the gun midfielder, but also, if we want you down forward, could you kick some goals for us? If you want you down back, could you take a few marks and shut it down? There's Ash. So she's got all the weapons and she's, you know, from her serve, it's not just can you serve it into the box in certain areas. She can do it with different spins and flight velocity. So, and power. And then she's got off the forehand side, she can flatten it out. She can hit loopy balls, heavy with top spin, find the angles of the court. Her backhand's got a slice, you know, her slice backhand is Ken Rosewall like. It's a knife. It can pierce any part of the court, whether it's short. So she's got all of that. And then she's got the comfort of feeling like she can trust her game under all sorts of circumstances, regardless if she's lost the first set. Her first round in Adelaide, the tournament she won 2 weeks ago, she was down a set in 4-2 against Coco Gauff, who's the 18th seed here, who's an American, who's a teenager, who's a superstar, who's going to be a top 10 player. She may win Grand Slam, some Grand Slam titles. And she comfortably navigated that because she was comfortable with her own skin and she could actually use all these different tools that she has to try and work a way out. And that makes it very tricky to play. And that's why she's the number one player in the world. That's why she's won a couple of majors. And that's why she's one of the, a key favourite here.
Mate, outstanding coverage from you as well. We're looking forward to hearing you commentate. And hopefully we'll catch up with you throughout the tournament. And best of luck, and we'll catch up with you really soon.
Thanks, guys. And thanks, Hamish, Roger. top shelf, mate.
Good on you, mate. Thanks very much. It's a work in progress.
Exactly. Good on you, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Good to speak to you.
Ciao.
See ya.
Roger Rashid joining us there as part of SEN's tennis coverage. And what an absolute champion he is. And big day Melbourne Park, right across SEN. So the Aussie Open gets underway from 9 o'clock this morning. First serve with Brett Phillips. 12 to 2, Dwayne's World's going to be live from Rod Laver Arena. And then 7 p.m. onwards tonight, SEN's Australian Open coverage. Night one, the big one, Ash Barty taking on Cyrenko and Ayla Tomljanovic up as well. Round of grounds coverage from of John Millman and Thanasi Kokkinakis' matches as well. We've got commentary team, Brett Phillips, Jenny Drummond. We are going to absolutely cover each and every single shot. It is tennis season officially. That's what we do. We go from cricket, the test matches, and we jump straight on board onto the tennis. So
it's good, isn't it? Maybe it's a little blessing in disguise that the Aussie boys just wrap things up in day three.
Oh, I'm sure the Tennis Australia organisers
focus all our attention on the tennis.
It would be really nice to see Thanasi do some seriously good things.
How good.
And see Ash Barty just wrap up another major.